He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It is the Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Looks like we've got all of our technical issues worked out. Hopefully our voices come in clear. And helpful today. Now, yesterday we were worried about a too hot jobs market, and today the worry seems to be more about a too cooling off jobs market. Will the real jobs market please stand up? Well, in the middle, the market is caught between should we be more worried about inflation or should we be more worried about recession? That's basically what it boils down to here. The Dow is down 31 points right now to 33,891 after getting hit pretty hard yesterday. The NASDAQ is now up 48 points after getting hit hard yesterday. I guess the NASDAQ is erring on the side of, inflation going away, the jobs market cooling off, and a soft landing. That's another possibility. The NASDAQ is up 47 points to 13,723. The S&P 500 just barely flat right now. It's up 3 points. Crude oil is down 29 cents. The biggest mover this week has been in the bond market, and we're up another 3 basis points there. We're now at 4.04%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our resident chartered financial analyst. And Barry, the market spoke with an angry mood yesterday after the private payrolls report, which really, a lot of times, it differs greatly.
Yeah, it has a lot, and of course, it came on the heels of the Fed minutes being released, I guess, around 2 p.m. the day before. But I was looking at just kind of the move. I mean, really, this is, and you mentioned it yesterday in terms of PEP contraction, and in your note this morning, actually, but. It's really been a rate event. I mean, you've gone from, I had a number, we were at 3.83 at the end of the quarter,
with June 30th.
Right. And we're already at, at 4.05 at the moment. So, basically about a 22 basis point move in, a relatively in a shortened trading week, right, in that span. And so, it's really been, that move in rates, and, those rates can easily, move back the other way depending on the data. And today's, I think, the softness in, a bit in that jobs report, particularly as you said, compared to that ADP report, is really driving, the market this morning, I think.
Yeah, and the expansion in the interest rates this past week reigns in the multiple of the S&P 500, which had gotten up to about 19.7 here recently. And you've seen about a half 50 basis points taken out of that multiple. I'll be updating my S&P 500 target price over the next 12 months in today's newsletter. But the market was down 366 yesterday, based really solely on the too hot ADP report, which, again, is not the official report, okay? And, in this week's newsletter, I'm going to be talking about how we're entering a new phase of the market. Okay, this is not the same as January 1st of this year when we called the bottom in the NASDAQ, and the NASDAQ has gone on a 31% run since then. We're in a new area of the market here. We're not at a multiple of 16.7 like we began the year at. We're at 19.7. Now it comes down to, well, the pickings aren't as easy. You could have thrown a dart back on January the 1st at the NASDAQ and probably hit a lot of winners. Now it's more of a targeted market. It's more of a one stock at a time, that I call it. Someone could come to me and say, well, now that the market's pretty fairly valued here, should I sell my Microsoft? Should I sell my Apple? It comes down to analysis of one stock at a time. That's the phase that we've now moved into with the market. Well, the market got slammed yesterday. The Dow was down 366. The NASDAQ was down 113, although it did come back towards the end of the day. The 10-year this morning got clear up to 4.08%. So we have literally seen those 25 basis points. The Fed didn't do it. The market did it. And maybe the Fed will do it at the next meeting. If so, if they don't, the market's already priced in a 25 basis point hike. And I think the market's also probably based in the possibility for another 25 basis point hike in the meeting after that. So that's where we sit today. And then, of course, the big news this morning was the non-farm payrolls report, which came in weaker than expected.
Yeah, first time it's in, I think first time in 15 reports that I saw where it came in weaker, you know, weaker than expected. In other words, not as many job additions as expected. Came in at 209 versus an estimate of 230, and there were some big revisions in the data. You know, I think they revised it for two months, but I think they reduced the previous 2 months by a total of 110,000 jobs. So
somebody's been padding the numbers.
Yeah, never seen that before. Mm. And when it comes to some payroll numbers, and you know, as election backdrop heats up, right?
Well, you know, the non-farm payroll numbers, we only actually came in with 209,000 jobs, which is pretty anemic, actually. And that fell short of the 225, and it once again the ADP private payrolls was not a good indicator for where the real report would come in today.
And it hasn't been for some time. I mean,
no.
Like you said, you know, really no one's really paid much attention to that report. I mean, since COVID, it's been way off. You know, just in terms of very divergent between the ADP report and the non-farm payrolls report. And yeah, like you said, it was just funny that folks were grasping on to that where, you know, previous months, right, everyone's always says the same thing. We'll wait for the real one tomorrow. Right?
Yeah, I said yesterday this makes really no sense at all that you're having this big sell-off in the market based on a report that really isn't all that reliable in gauging the real jobs market. I would also say this. I think that the bond market now is oversold, okay? I think that too much worry about inflation has now been baked into the bond market cake. And I think, you know, I might be looking to be a buyer of some bonds here because I think there's upside potential. I think rates are going to go back down to the mid threes here eventually, which would be 55 basis points lower than where we are right now. And that will help the multiple in the market expand back to where it was and support the current price of where the market is at. So now we kind of have those worries a little bit out of the way. We can start focusing a little bit more on the upcoming earnings, which I think begins next Friday. Let me see. JP Morgan is usually, or Wells Fargo. Let's see when Wells Fargo reports. WFC reports their earnings on the 14th of July, next Friday. So really, earnings season will begin on Monday. It's usually Fastenal, believe it or not, that leads off the earnings season.
Used to be
Alcoa.
Yeah, it used to be Alcoa, right?
And then by the end of the week, we get all of those big bank reports. Okay, the other thing that I noticed yesterday, you mentioned it, the job openings fell more than expected in the May JOLTS report. So actually, I would say when you sum all of them together, there were quite a few. There were more layoffs than expected, right? With the
You had the Challenger survey, I believe you mentioned.
Yep, and then of course the you know, applying for you know, unemployment, that was came in hotter than expected. Then you had that kind of out of whack private payroll report, and then you have today's. I would say all in all, the jobs market seems to maybe be cooling off. Okay, just when you lump them all together. So, you know, that that still leaves open, you know, what they'll do at the next Fed meeting. I now expect a 25 basis point hike and then probably skipping at least the next meeting. What have long-term mortgage rates? It wasn't a good week for mortgage brokers or home buyers. The 30-year averaged 6.81. That's the highest it's been in quite some time. It was at 6.71 last week. That's the highest level so far this year for that 30-year mortgage. All right, we'll be right back. A lot of stock talk here today and a lot of macro outlooks as we really get the second half of the year underway. We'll be right back. Stocks Now show. I looked at a 1,000 charts yesterday. I was really, really looking for sector rotation, for new stocks rising up, maybe that got left behind. I didn't really find anything, or this past week I haven't not found anything quite yet that I want to buy or sell. But I did make some observations. I think the bond market is now oversold. And I think interest rates are going to start coming back, and I think this would be a good opportunity to maybe pick up a bond if that's your, you know, if that's your medicine. That, you know, at five, and you could probably get something in the mid fives, high fives for the next 3 to 5 years. The oil producers look horrible. Exxon guided lower yesterday. Chevron guides lower today. They don't look so good. The energy service stocks, though, like Rig and Noble Energy, NE, and a few others, they look promising, okay? Baker Hughes looks promising. I think the home builders, I think the run in the home builders, the easy money's probably gone. I think the industry's still strong, but these interest rates. Now, if the interest rates start coming back down again, then they could get second life, second breath, second wind, but they just seem to be a little overbought right now. The basic material stocks look bad, you know, on the China. I think it's mostly weakness coming out of China.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, I think, that's been keeping oil prices down, right? And,
yes,
you know, obviously Russia, you know, probably selling some oil at a much cheaper rate than the rest of the producers as well out there. But yeah, with saw, you know, not only in the oil side, I saw where Tesla is going to apparently, I guess, lay off some workers or reassign some workers in their factory in China, and you know that's a battery. I mean,
yes,
the factory makes batteries, so less fuel there, right? I
yes.
mean, it's just I think like as you mentioned, and you've been nailing it, is with, you know, China and you know, kind of their economy likely being worse off than they're letting on to, you know.
Yeah. So that doesn't look good at all, the basic materials. The software stocks looked really good yesterday. Microsoft, Paycom, Paylocity, they all look very good. Salesforce, ServiceNow. The AI stocks still look good for now. Like I say, you have to take it one stock at a time. The stock of the day yesterday was DigitalOcean, D-O-C-N. Because why? Because they're getting in on the AI madness. Rivian has also had a really good week. Rivian may be emerging as kind of second fiddle EV. For a while there, I thought maybe it would be Lucid. But I think Rivian, with their ties to Amazon and the delivery vans, gives them a pretty good safe backstop to where they have more than just their retail cars, you know, for individuals. So Rivian had a really good week, but it is a long term, you know, the question is, will they ever be profitable? There were a few good-looking biotechs yesterday that I saw, smaller ones. I might mention those in the newsletter this week. And, of course, the insurance stocks did very well because they do well in a rising interest rate environment. But as far as investments go, there's a few. There's a couple of consolidators like Gallagher, AJG, that pays a good dividend, and they're growing through acquisitions. I talked a little bit in my final message to my subscribers and clients yesterday about the multiple of the market. Right now, I'll be addressing that in the newsletter for tomorrow as to where we're going to close this week. It's basically where the S&P 500 is right now versus the earnings estimates over the next 12 months, and that creates your forward P.E. ratio. And with interest rates going up this past week, you saw some shrinkage in that P.E. ratio. And, you know, yesterday was a little bit scary, but at the end I said I don't see any reason to panic yet. We're just entering a new phase of the market wherein you have to monitor each. You can't just throw money at a sector. You can't just buy the QQQ. You can't just buy the technology sector. You can't just buy the robotics and AI sectors. It comes down to stock by stock. All right. Equity funds delivered their third consecutive quarter of positive gains. The average gain during Q2 was 4.4% for equities if you had a portfolio. What did best? Growth. Growth trumped value in this past quarter. I think the disparity between the two is probably going to be narrowed a little bit. Growth was up 8.4% during the quarter. Value was up 4%, but maybe it will start tilting back to value just a little bit. Now some macro calls. Roth Capital, pretty big Wall Street firm, said the economy is headed for a recession and earnings will fall. Okay, other than that, they're optimistic, right?
that would be, I mean, that would, I guess if there were a recession, usually earnings do fall. So
yes.
I guess I understand the logic.
Okay, now just from my perspective, they're predicting, okay? They're not seeing signs of it, doesn't seem like. It seems like they're predicting because there doesn't, you know, as you look at the GDP, which has been revised upwards, you look at the jobs reports. If you look at the consumer and everything, we're still not seeing any signs of a recession. But having said that, we're on the constant lookout. Besides watching your own stocks, you're going to have to watch out for where the earnings expectations go. We eventually will have an earnings recession. But keep in mind that earnings have been going up since 2009. 2009, when they bottomed out at $60 per share. The only blip in earnings we had was the COVID year, which would be an extraordinary item. And even last year when the NASDAQ was down 35%, earnings still hit a record high. It was the multiple that got thrashed last year. Okay, here's another one. UBS says that stocks look too optimistic after the Fed minutes and the idea of a soft landing. They don't believe in a soft landing. For me, that looks like the most likely scenario right now is getting interest rates just to the right level where it cools off inflation and doesn't put us into a recession. That's a very tight, that's a needle. You've got to thread the needle there. But that, to me, looks like the most likely scenario here. UBS disagrees with us. And they think that the market is too optimistic right now. So, again, I come back to it's one stock at a time. Microsoft could see a $3 trillion valuation. Well, I don't think that's that wild of a projection. It's at $2.5 trillion now. It could easily get to $3 trillion thanks to its AI pole position. Okay, Meta. and Facebook going at it again. Zuckerberg and Elon Musk, not Meta, Meta and Twitter going at it. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The market kind of meandering here today. It's been a quiet week, Barry. With the 4th of July being on Tuesday, I don't know that there was a whole lot. I don't know that we can make a whole lot from this past week of trading.
It's been a bit, certainly it's been a bit disjointed for sure.
Yes. Now, next week is going to be a little bit more normal. It's still vacation time. It's still summertime. But we do begin earnings season next week.
We get some fun data next week too.
Yeah, we get a lot of important data.
CPI on Wednesday. We get the PPI on Thursday. So we've got a handful of docket of Fed speakers here that I'm looking at for next week. So we'll probably more Fed discussion and interest rate discussion as we kind of wait for earnings to kind of season to get here and finally kind of take over that narrative, hopefully, a bit.
Exactly. So we kind of have, I'll just call it a meandering Friday here. Now, I got up to about 900 B-plus or better ranked stocks maybe 2 weeks ago. That's historically high. Normally, out of that database of about 6,000, I get more in the 300 to 500 range, somewhere in there. Now we're back to 536, so 300 stocks have dropped out of that B plus range. That grade is based on valuation and momentum, and I would say the biggest factor dropping those stocks down would be the valuation side of the equation, because a lot of stocks have had a lot of value squeezed out of them. Apple's a perfect example. Apple opened up the year with decent upside potential, and now its upside potential is down in the 35 to 40% range. So that lowers that value grade, which is part of the overall grade. We're making really good progress. We're kind of headed into the final stretch of the app makeover. I spent a lot of time yesterday writing up how I use the app, how the app came about, how those rankings, how those valuations are done, how the performance numbers are done, and how that final grade and ranking is calculated. And then where do you go from there once you have those rankings and those overall grades? I wrote that all up yesterday, so it will be a lot more instructional up front. And then on the various key areas like technical analysis, et cetera, macro analysis, there will be tutorials on the new version of the app. So 536 B-plus ranked stocks, which is more in the normal range, still a little high. A-plus, I usually have 100 to 200. Right now I have 173. But we were at about 350 here recently. So there's no question the market was overheated. This recent compression, this recent pullback does not surprise me at all. Okay, so Meta, 50 million users already. Okay, I don't know how many Twitter has. Bank of America said that exceeds expectations. So now we look to Meta and see how it is reacting today. Meta has been one of the strongest stocks in the entire market in 2023. I show it was still 85% upside potential. Meta is still in my wheelhouse. as far as valuation and performance are concerned. And now we've got a new wrinkle. It's Threads, right? Is that what they call it? Threads that's going to compete with Twitter?
Now, yeah, Threads. I saw it. And apparently they make it pretty easy to move over from, you know, from whatever I think. I don't know if it has its own app or not. I think it does. But apparently it's easy to migrate, apparently, your information from, say, Instagram to Threads, whatever that means.
Well, Twitter threatens to sue Meta Platforms over Threads launch. Well, here's what it looks like. A lot of the Twitter employees that probably lean to the left, right, with the previous owner, Jack Dorsey, left Twitter and went to Meta. Okay, now that's where they are. Of course, Zuckerberg leans a little bit more to the left. Musk seems to lean more to the right these days. So anyways, Musk is accusing Zuckerberg of, stealing employees and in violating some of their proprietary technology. So anyways, we'll see where that goes. Another lawsuit. I've seen a few private companies trying to mimic Novo Nordisk best-selling Wegovy diet pill. Which supposedly will take about 30% of your weight off of you in the course of a year. Novo Nordisk has accused a compounding pharmacy in Tampa, Florida, where Best Docs Now show is heard every afternoon, of manufacturing selling its own version of semaglutide. That's the active ingredient in the pharma company's blockbuster weight loss treatment, Wegovy. So, and I know there was another one, too, a little publicly traded company that was also kind of pirating their own concoction of Wegovy, the blockbuster weight loss drug. Okay, it's stock pick time. Bank of America highlights their top 10. Amazon, Chipotle, Google, Lilly, Netflix, Insulet, SolarEdge, T-Mobile, United Rentals, and Warner Brothers. It's not a bad list, actually. Okay, I own several of those. That's their picks. And then BTIG top picks for the rest of the year include D.R. Horton, Deckers Outdoor, that's one we own, Domino's Pizza, Jack Henry Associates, Legend Biotech, Abbott Labs, Stryker, American Homes for Rent, Prologis, DraftKings, Roblox, CrowdStrike, Expedia, Mercado Libre, and Tyler Technologies. It's an okay list. I give that about a B-minus grade. There's some pretty good ones in there. Okay, Samsung, warning about a huge... This is warning season.
Leading up to... Right, as we get towards the end of the year.
And leading up to reports, okay, these companies, you do a little bit of covering of their you-know-what by lowering expectations so they can't get sued for misleading, on their guidance. Samsung, first one, expects Q2 operating profit to plunge 96%. Now, they're in the same business as Micron with the flash memory chips, and that is a very soft area of the market right now. Exxon sees lower natural gas prices, refining margins. They slash their Q2 earnings. Well, Q2 is over, all right? So now after the fact, they're expecting to report earnings that are going to come in way less than expected. And like I said, the energy producers continue to be very, very weak. And then another one, Shell, S-H-E-L, which is a European company, they see significantly lower Q2 gas trading earnings. So that does not seem to be a sweet spot in the market at all, the energy sector, other than some of these energy service stocks, which are actually looking pretty kind of interesting right now. Lastly, the Shell CEO says it's dangerous and irresponsible to cut oil production now. And, of course, they're doing that all over Europe. They're closing down fields. They're putting quotas on how much can be taken out of productive fields. Europe is way ahead of us on that, but we seem to be following Europe in cutting our production. Of course, OPEC loves it. I mean, they love it, cutting production. That drives prices higher, and it makes us more dependent upon them. But Shell disagrees with that strategy, saying that it is dangerous and irresponsible. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Well, Levi. I mean, does anybody care about Levi anymore? They produced earnings. Fisker expects deliveries to start ramping up in July. I think Fisker's one of those that will be lucky to make the cut. You know, we'll see. There's a lot of them.
Well, and it's all about delivery, you know, production and deliveries,
yeah.
And that's really what drove Rivian higher is the fact that they're, you know, I think they were on target. They want to do 50,000 vehicles this year. To put that in comparison to what, you know, what Boyd and Tesla did for the first half of the, you know, for comparatively many more vehicles. But, they're supposed to get 50,000 in. They're ahead of that target. And so, that's where you've seen the stock kind of fly away at.
And then going back to the well to get more money becomes an issue. And, of course, Rivian has a leg up there because of their backing by Amazon.
Right.
And Lucid has backing from Saudi Arabia. Okay, what's moving and shaking? Is anything moving and shaking today? There's got to be something. We'll report on that when we come back.
You got to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And as I dig in underneath the surface of the market, I do see a very interesting trend possibly emerging. Now, just by natural attrition, you know, when a tech sector goes up 31% during the first half of the year and another sector lags far behind, you usually have some rebalancing and you have some sector rotation. And I've got about five sectors on my watch list for potential incoming cash flows, right? We're seeing some outgoing cash flows. Out of some of the hotter stuff during the first half of the year. Not a lot yet, however. But the most promising sector right now, and this is the one that's kind of at the top of my list, is this energy service sector. Check this out, what's taking place there today, okay? NBR is up 4.7% today, which stands out on a very flat, kind of dull day in the market. Neighbors Industry is up 4.7% today. SLB, the former Schlumberger, that's a pretty good chart. SLB is breaking out today. It's up 3.7% so far today. And it has a good chart, like I said. Halliburton is up 4% today. That's a very good chart on Halliburton also. That's a little bit of a breakout there on HAL.
And that's really those servicers have really been the only bright spot in that in at least on the fossil fuel side.
Yeah, absolutely. NOV, another one. Now these are equipment and service stocks. These are the picks and shovels. This isn't Chevron. Now some of the bigger ones have their own, you know, they're vertically integrated. But for the most part, they use outside contractors to do the actual drilling, the equipment, the platforms, et cetera. And this is where all of these companies lie.
And it's easier to ramp up and easy for those to be different divisions because it's easier to ramp up that, that rig count, right? And then, of course, reduce that rig count over time.
Exactly. Now, here's the one that looks best to me, Noble. NE, which is a Swiss company engaged in offshore contract drilling, is getting very close to a new all-time high after they came public back in 2021. That's a very good chart, okay, on NE, Noble. And then you've got Baker, which is the old Baker Hughes. They're the ones that produce the rig report every week, how many new rigs are out there. That thing's breaking out today. It's up 2%. And then a few of the actual oil stocks are actually looking better than I indicated earlier. I've been pretty bearish. It seems like the big ones, Exxon and Chevron, don't look very good. But now you go to these energy service companies. And there are ETFs that break it down, you know, into just energy service. And then, of course, there's a lot of individual stocks. And for the most part, these stocks are pretty cheap, cheaper than, you know, a lot of the tech stocks. Then the second most promising that may see sector rotation on the good side in the second half are those regional banks. Zions is up almost 3% today. That's a standout there and a potential one to keep your eye on. And then the third most interesting area of the market would be the industrials, especially if the economy continues to grow and we don't go into a recession. Investors in Caterpillar don't think we're headed for a recession. It's up 2.5% today. That's a heavy industrial. DuPont, which is another kind of industrial, is up 1.2% today. And J.P. Morgan, which is a money center bank, that's a pretty good chart on J.P. Morgan right now. It's up 1.1%. So those are three sectors that I laid out last week in the newsletter. I gave you about five or six charts of sectors, not stocks, sectors that look the most promising to keep your eye on going forward. Okay, the big tech is taking the day off. No question about it. I think, don't they take Fridays off in the Silicon Valley? I don't know.
During the summer they do, for sure.
The stocks certainly are. The only good-looking tech stock out there really today is NVIDIA, which is up 1.6%. Believe it or not, it's still in my wheelhouse for valuation. And then the two wild things today is Gorilla Technology that is joining the AI club. Okay. It's up 127% today. GRRR. And then the second one is Castle Biosciences, which I guess the government is now going to, you know, reimburse people for their treatment on different on skin cancers. Their thing, Castle Biosciences. So that's kind of the deal. We've got 1 week now in the books of the first half of the second half of this year. It's mostly been about a little sector rotation, a massive sell-off in the bond market. Fear of the Fed, that's kind of how the first week has gone. And, of course, next week we start to really focus on earnings. I'll be updating my target price on the S&P 500 today. I'll be updating all my technical analysis of the important sectors, asset classes, et cetera, leading sectors in the market right now. We'll have our best idea of the week. That we do every week. And what else? Well, a lot more. You get 2 free weeks of the newsletter by going to the website at GundersonCapital.com. We've been busy. Talking to folks.
Well, I'm interested to see where that multiple ends up on your analysis. So.
Exactly. And if you would like to talk to us about a financial plan, and maybe mixing and matching some of the five portfolios, maybe it's six, that I manage, all the way down from individual bonds. I think this is a good buying opportunity in the individual bonds. We'll be looking for some new ones maybe next week because I think rates are going to probably turn around and start dropping. I think the bond market's oversold. The stock market is still in the overbought condition, but we took some of that out of the market this past week. You can call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment with us, or start with the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.